Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 288. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. It's listener feedback day, so we're going to read some of your emails, play some of your voicemails, and just see what you guys have to say to us. We'd like to know every once in a while. And let me introduce the co-host, starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, door?
Don't forget, if you go to teespring.com/AAA t-shirt, you can basically force them to do another reprinting if enough people go there and order a shirt.
How many more do we need? 80?
No, I don't think you need to do a full fulfillment. I think it's only a half fulfillment. So it's only, it should only be 50 more, but we already were 20 and I went and I did some more purchases. So it's probably only really like 20 more shirts.
Really? I didn't know it was that low.
I think Thank thought it was
that
only.
That makes me feel like a jerk last show when I said good luck. Wait, I still want one. No, 96 more needs to get bought.
Wow. But you know what? I think our shirt's the cheapest one on the entire website. So there's a chance if the word gets out that there's a shirt that they can get for under $9. Maybe just in that fact that it's got a couple cool looking Androids on it and they could sell out again, even if they've never heard the show, possibly.
Yeah, I'm sure that will work here.
Well, we do have that. I mean, all the other shirts I saw on there were like $25 for a t-shirt. So that's...
Yeah.
Especially the Android ones. All the other Android ones were expensive.
Yeah, and I'll also say, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I had my grits. I had my smoked chicken tonight. I'm happy. On my grits, I put some carob chips, some butter, and salt. Carob is like a chocolate substitute. Oh, which is weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
And very weird, but sweet and salty at the same time. It was really good.
Like Cocoa Puffs, kind of, then. No?
Cocoa Puffs are salty?
Well, I don't know. If they had grits under them.
If you put salt and grits and Cocoa Puffs, yeah, it'd be just like it.
Just like
it. All right. Yeah. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Big Steve. Got your door.
Hey, man.
I'm good. You know, I'm ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I've got nowhere to go. It's kind of like the first Thanksgiving I had with my wife. We got married on the 23rd of November, and it happened when we got married. We were on our honeymoon, and Thanksgiving happened while we were gone. And we were in a fairly metropolitan area and couldn't find anywhere to eat because back then, you know, this was 18 years ago, every place was closed on Thanksgiving, even the restaurants. There was no place to go. And we ended up finding a bowling alley that served pizzas. And that's where we ended up going for dinner that day.
Are you serious?
Nice. Yeah, no, worked out good.
That's harsh.
Played some air hockey.
Did you bowl too?
No, we didn't bowl. Just played air hockey and ate pizza.
That sounds fun, man. That sounds fun. That's interesting. Are you going to go to Black Friday? Friday sales start at like 6 or 4 p.m. on Thursday now.
Yeah, since we don't have any dinners, we have to go to Thursday. Because for some reason, one's on Friday. Black Friday is one dinner, and then the other one is here on Saturday. So Thursday, we actually have wide open with nothing. So
time to go shopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Thanksgiving's not tomorrow, so I don't want to get you all riled up.
It's not?
What's today?
Wednesday?
Door, is it Tuesday or am I just crazy?
Isn't this the second show of the week? I thought it was on Wednesdays.
Today live is Tuesday. When this is going to be broadcast is a week after Thanksgiving.
Oh. Steve. Oh, I'm sorry. Steve, can you edit that out? I had next Wednesday confused with this Wednesday. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll definitely edit that out. Don't worry about it, Eric. Here, let me edit it out right now. Okay, it's gone.
It's gone.
Yep, nobody will hear that.
So Christmas Eve tomorrow, I think our family's coming over. We're going to snuggle up by the fire. No, I don't know. Okay. Well, yeah.
I hope you got some good Black Friday deals. That's all.
I haven't seen anything that's making me really excited. Have you guys looked through the ads or done any?
No, I'm not going to stand in line for like the really. Yeah, well, yeah. There's like a 50-inch TV at Best Buy for $200.
Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah, but you're going to have to like set up a tent 2 weeks ago to get that deal. Seriously,
yeah, we did.
Well, I was going to say What I keep hearing is that they're going to soon make the idea of the trampling fest a thing of the past by quite literally, if you show up and you're there between a certain hour, they'll give you a IOU slip that you'll get the same thing at the same price eventually, kind of thing for the people.
But that could still be trampling to get the slip. Why don't they just do an NFC out in the parking lot and everybody and have like the Target car drive through the parking lot and everybody who's got their NFC on in their car as that car goes behind them gets the code. So nobody actually even has to get out of their warm car.
Yeah, and I'll say I will not go out. My wife is going out Thursday, Thanksgiving Day at 6 p.m. or whatever. I want to say it was Walmart literally had something like $29, normally $89 Android tablets. So then I have two kids to worry about looking for Bob's. And there was a couple of, there's a couple other things that she said were a good sale. I don't know.
I don't even want to think what a $29 Android tablet plays like.
I don't care because I know he's going to break it. If he's not happy with it, he'll just mooch his brother's tablet, I guess. I don't know.
We actually saw the Menards ad for, I don't know if it was a Black Friday ad, but it was a pre-Christmas ad of some sort. And we found an item that we bought ourselves for our anniversary in there that I've never heard of before. It's called the Ronco Indoor Grill. You know Ronco, like the Ronco Peel Pocket Fisherman. We've had really good luck with all of Ronco products because I'm a big fan of the Showbiz Roach history. We use the crap out of that thing. So we saw this thing, and basically what it is, it's a meal toaster. You stick your whole meal, like chicken, frozen chicken breast, vegetables, potatoes, everything. You shove it in this basket, and you set it down in what's basically a huge toaster. And then you set it and forget it. And 18 minutes later, everything's cooked and it's perfect.
Really?
You can put steaks in there, whatever you want.
I never heard of a meal toaster. I never don't know what that is.
Well, the lady on HSN calls it
toaster oven?
A groaster, because it's a grill and a toaster put together.
Okay.
And I didn't think a groaster would be a very good selling term. No. So I thought the first thing I thought when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's a meal toaster.
First thing I thought is this is a fire hazard.
Yeah, you think so? I don't know. It's new. They just had their U.S. debut of it, so I'm excited.
Set it and forget it, baby.
Have fun with that. Have fun with that. All right, let's read some emails here. This one is from Foothill Car Wash Lube Oil and Detail Center. Thanks for taking my suggestion and doing a separate show just for games. It was really nice for me, as a non-gamer, to have the option to skip the show without worrying about missing an app that I might care about. Funny.
I never thought about that. That's a great idea.
I know. This is one of the reasons why we didn't want to do it, guys. But he said, next line, though, in caps. Funny thing, though, I was so curious about the fact that you actually had done a separate game show that I listened to it anyway.
Oh.
I also really appreciate the effort to mention the app names following each review. Very helpful. Keep up the great work. By the way, I have now made over 150 orders on Amazon using the podnuts.com/Amazon link. Thank you again for everything you guys do. It really enriches my sad little life. Okay, maybe that's a little overboard. I have a great, if somewhat average Joe life. Nonetheless, I still enjoy your lighthearted banter. App Addicts is still in my top three. Take care. From Steve, Foothill Car Wash, Express Oil Change, and Professional Detail Center.
Nice. I never thought about that, but that's a great idea if you really don't like games. But, I'm not a gamer either, but, it's still, you gotta play with your tablet and your phone a little bit and test its limits of graphics qualities, things like that.
That's true. It's like having a car and you never floor it. Like my dad, never floors his car at least once in its lifetime. He's like, has like this back off on flooring it, But that's what it's like with your phone. You got to floor it every once in a while, clean out the pipes.
Yeah, got to clean out the pipes.
Hmm. You just like saying clean out the pipes. Steve, I honestly cannot thank you enough. Foothill Car Lube Wash. Steve's a really good guy, and I will say I found out recently certain quote-unquote privacy plugins on your browser might actually inhibit Panos.com/Amazon from working correctly. So if you do really want to support the network and you go to Panos.com/Amazon, Adblock Plus and those kind of things might actually be inhibiting the setting of that cookie.
Hmm.
Yeah. Something to think about. Are you allowed to set up exceptions in that Adblock thing?
I would think so, but I honestly have not ran any Adblock software on my desktop or my desktop for at least 6-7 years, just because I just don't look at the ads anymore. And on my mobile, I haven't for like 2 or 3 years. On the mobile, there was no options at all. I don't know about the desktop.
Okay. All right. Something to check out.
Yeah. I've never really used that either. Have you, Steve?
Adblock?
Yeah.
No, never did. Never did. But I tell you what, I can't stop thinking about what you guys brought up last week about Google offering a service where you just pay a monthly fee and you don't have to watch any ads. I would pay. I would pay $10.
Oh no, it's only $2 or $3.
Really?
$3.
They already have it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no ads on YouTube videos or anything.
No, but it's not on every site on the internet. It has nothing to do with YouTube. That was the one thing. Though.
What? No, I'm talking about Google ads because YouTube uses AdWords.
I know. It's only certain websites that are doing this. They want to see if they can get buy-in because it should give a better experience on these key websites, Mashable and other websites, to where they hope it's going to entice more websites to jump into that.
I gotcha.
I agree with you, Steve. That's kind of like... it's almost like buying HBO or something. Everybody back in the day bought HBO when it was like the only thing other than regular TV because it didn't have ads.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll say YouTube ads are the worst thing created using source code and compilers in the history of the universe. YouTube ads drive me bonkers, insane, nutty, sketchy kind of teeth grinding behavior with YouTube ads. That's why
I gotta disagree, man. The worst thing is those popover big square that you have to try to find the X on JavaScript crap that comes up on every other website.
I just close the window.
Yeah, but it's not always easy on a small device when you're like on your phone or something.
I'll go to another website. I won't read the article or whatever. Yeah,
back arrow.
I'll say forget them.
Yeah.
I hate that type of advertising. You don't want to make your readers irate. It's just not a smart move.
I don't think they care. Any website that comes up that way doesn't care.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
It's honestly like the on-demand stuff. My wife wanted to watch a show. A news thing broke into her show that she had recorded, so she missed the last 20 minutes of the show. She went to on-demand service from Verizon Fios. Since the show was broadcast last night, she was not allowed to fast-forward or skip it. Any of the show, so to sit there for 40 minutes and watch what she already watched to watch the end. But then the kids started screaming. She hit pause. A minute and a half later, it timed out, went back to the menu. So she had to watch the first 40 minutes of the show again. She was livid, I tell you. And I was just so thankful it wasn't because of me. Oh, Lord.
No, that's crazy. I'll tell you what, I went on a crazy binge. I do this every like maybe 3 or 4 times a year. No, not even twice a year. I go on a crazy binge on Netflix where I'll just pick a series and watch every episode as fast as I can. And I went through 5 seasons of Friday Night Lights, I think in about a week.
That's the best thing to do, man. That's the way it should be. That's the way all shows should be.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to throw one out there, Steve, because you're a non-cooker. Okay, you need to do that with Good Eats. I'm just saying. It isn't a step-by-step Rachel Ray style cooking show, the show Good Eats.
Oh, Good Eats.
It's just a really fun, entertaining show where he actually slips in some education at the same time.
Really? All right, I'll check it out.
Speaking of that, Steve, and I know we're not getting any emails read, but you got me curious. How many times have you visited that chicken joint since you told us last week about it, like 2 weeks ago?
Five, but only three. But only 3 times I actually bought something. Because one, she's like, yeah, it's going to be half an hour to cook the chicken. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, forget it. And then another time they were closed when they were supposed to be open.
Oh.
So I only got chicken three times.
Oh. Well, yeah, but those three times, have you had to buy 16 pieces because the credit limit of 10?
Yeah, but I don't mind. I would do it anyway because it lasts me two or three days.
Yeah, it looked like this. Good 16. How many pieces did you eat today? That was a nice picture of it.
I think five.
My wife was like really hungry after looking at your pictures.
You know what? If I get them with the sauce, they like pour all the sauce over it, but I get the sauce on the side and I just dip the chicken in a little bit because they put too much on. It's fantastic.
Is it a barbecue sauce?
Yeah, barbecue sauce. It's called Down to the Bone. That's the name of the place. Down to the Bone.
Good name.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, Jesse writes, hey guys, this is Jesse in St. Peter's, Mo, Missouri. I have an exposed module that would be best described as an LBE privacy guard replacement. It's called X-Privacy. I always enjoy the show, and make sure to use the podnuts.com/Amazon link. Jesse. Anybody have tried this?
X-Privacy? I don't have anything with
exposed
right now, yeah.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Door?
I live off of X-Privacy for the longest time because I liked LBE no more. You can install the Japanese or Korean version. You have to literally either then install a tool to transpose into English, which doesn't work right all the time, or you have to literally just guess your way through interfaces. X-Privacy can be a little bit annoying in the number of things that it can block. It takes a little bit of maintenance. It takes a little bit of time. But with apps like that, I am able to say explicitly, X application cannot access my contacts. X application cannot access my text messages. X application cannot. I can do all this kind of stuff, which, to be honest, is another layer of protection in case I do get malware on my phone. Because I will say, malware is extremely, extremely ridiculously low on Android in the United States. But there's still a likelihood I'm going to get it because I'm me. I install all kinds of wacky, crazy stuff on my phone. X-Privacy helps minimize the damage if I do get an actual infection. So I do use X-Privacy, but it does take a little bit of adminning time to get set up right.
I hear you.
Is it safe to say that his Amazon.com/podnuts or podnuts.com/Amazons aren't making it through?
X-Privacy will not do anything about ads or anything like that. Just stopping applications from accessing certain types of phone content, SD card, GPS, stuff like that.
Do you notice you lose a lot of functionality in apps, though, when you start turning that kind of stuff off and not allowing things? No?
99.99% of the time, I lose nothing. When I do lose something, the app will not run because certain apps insist on having like internet access to display ads or something like that.
Okay.
Cool. Well, thanks for the little review there, Dor. And thanks, Jesse, for sending that in. Hey, guys. Or this is from Steven. He says, hey, guys, love the show. Been listening to you for about 8 months now. I bought a lightly used Nexus 5 about a month ago off contract for about $200. I loved the phone, and it performed better than any other I've used that's twice the price. Fast forward to last Friday. I was at Walmart around midnight, and to my surprise, they had peach moonshine. I know, right? Sounds delicious. Anywho, no. I drank just enough to realize how fed up I've been with waiting for the Android 5.0 lollipop update. I got in my head it would be a good idea to root my phone, install Twerp Recovery, and flash the developer preview, previously having only novice level rooting experience. After about half an hour of drinking and tinkering, my phone warned me that there is no longer any operating system installed on it. I've tried everything, doing a restore, going into fast boot mode, download mode, recovery mode, anything that could connect to my computer, and manually drag the original OS back onto it to reinstall it. I haven't been able to get anything to work. When I connect it to my computer, I can browse the phone's folders where all my pictures and app data are still intact. I just have no operating system, so it can't fully boot up. When I drag any version of Android onto the phone, it just doesn't show up when I run Twerp. I have followed multiple YouTube videos and Google instructions of people with a similar problem, and nothing I've tried has worked. I know there are places you can go to fix your phone physically, but is there anywhere I can take this to have the software issues fixed? Please help me, Steven.
Steven, you are listener number one. That whenever I was to root and ROM, that was exactly the state that I was in too. That's usually when I got the itch to, oh, this thing's just too boring. Let's tear it up. And then I'd end up with a bricked phone, and it would take me a couple days later and people could call me again. Oh man. I know what he's, I know that feeling, man. I do.
Well, I had a couple back and forth with Steven. He is up and fixed and working fine.
Yay.
Any true Nexus device, it is nearly, and I mean very, very accurately, nearly impossible to actually permanently brick your device. A couple back and forth, he downloaded WugFresh. There's two tools. There's the Nexus Toolkit line of applications, which, to be honest, look more like a 1972 mainframe terminal, or you have WugFresh, which is rounded corners, big buttons interface. They both are essentially doing the same thing on the back end. He used WugFresh, and WugFresh was able to flash the stock image. Bang, he was back up and running. He basically says, if anyone else comes to you with this problem, this was the only thing that worked for me, plus it was the easiest fix. WugFresh has a much easier interface. And to be honest, there was somebody else just the other day who said, I have a Nexus 7. I tried to install Ubuntu on it. Has been working for months. How can I get it working? WugFresh. Go through WugFresh. Most important thing, delete all drivers on your computer and then reinstall the drivers. And you basically go from there.
On your phone? On your phone, you mean?
On your computer. You have to install WugFresh. All the drivers for the device.
Okay, delete. Okay.
Because you're
okay,
on Windows, gotcha. Drivers are everything. Drivers are the thing that will either make everything work or make nothing work. So when you have the wrong drivers, you have to get rid of them. And then WugFresh.
If you don't have drivers, does WugFresh install the correct ones for you then?
You can push a button in WugFresh and it will uninstall the old drivers, install the new drivers. Then it's just a simple matter of getting your phone in the right load sequence to accept the ROM, which is typically just hold down, volume down, and the power button at the same time, and right there stop, and then through the interface click reboot into bootloader, and then flash the ROM, away you go.
You know, gotcha. Wow, that's good to know about WugFresh, and because it's Nexus 7, I keep hitting system update. You know, I think another three more glasses of wine and I'm going to be ready to sideload and force that thing tonight.
Well,
you're going to pop it.
The beautiful thing, pop. Eric, is the beautiful thing about the Nexus 7 is if it's not a LTE carrier branded Nexus 7, if it's just a Wi-Fi Nexus 7, you go and what you download will be the exact same bit for bit operating system that you'll be waiting for to get from Google.
All right. We'll have to see how it goes tonight. It's a possibility, though. I might be right there with Steve by tomorrow.
Good luck, dude. What, on the pop, you mean?
No, on something that won't boot. And then I'll have to call Dora, and Dora will be like, WugFresh, man. I'm like, well, I tried, dude, and here we go.
It takes
sounds like WugFresh could do anything.
Well, it always takes tinkering because you got to uninstall the drivers, load the drivers, reboot the Windows computer because it's a Windows computer, and you know, stuff like that.
I was rooting and ramming a Samsung, man. This can't be nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be easy, cheesy.
Unbelievably easy.
I have a feeling we're going to get a Vox later from Eric. All right. Todd writes, check out Ginger Keyboard plus Page. Hey, guys. While I am a hardcore SwiftKey fan, unable to function with... sorry. Wow. What just happened there in my throat? Unable to function without it, the Ginger keyboard has me intrigued. I can see a use case for someone I can see a use case for someone who maybe wants to try to avoid constantly typing in LeetSpeak. Ginger keyboard has a thesaurus, dictionary, and translation functions. I have to say that I can see myself using the thesaurus function. It touts that it will give you smart suggestions, quote, to rephrase something you have written. There's a large emoji pack. Gotta have emojis. And the translation option works for 40 languages. It will contextually detect and correct grammar, spelling, and punctuation. While the contextually correct thing is bound to be fraught with imperfection, I haven't seen much in the way of poor suggestions. I have only tinkered with Ginger for a day and a half, but so far I'm fairly impressed. Mind you, I haven't jumped ship from my beloved SwiftKey, but I'm always up for a good test run on the next best thing. Keep up the great show. From Todd.
Wow, thanks, Todd. You know, I'm installing this on the Nexus 7 because, honestly, man, I'm really getting tired of Google Keyboard. For some reason, it doesn't... There's just things about it where it doesn't even come close to getting what I want to express when I clearly came really close to typing what I really wanted. it comes out nowhere close. I'm going to give this a try because, you know, besides it's going to make me sound smarter when I've got all these big fancy words and everything I type to everybody. And then I see now doors into emojis, so I'm going to have to catch up there.
Always. And Steve, here's why I would honestly think this would be the kind of keyboard that you would suggest to people, Steve. Because anything to make someone stop at the end of their email and just once over what they wrote should take a lot of errors out to where emails make more sense. I find myself I now try to stop and read every email that I send and I see the hell I'd forgot to type two of the words I meant to put in there, you know, kind of thing. So this should give a sanity check. The question is as if you are going to stop after the end of the email and actually do it. You know what I mean? To have it run its checker. I do love the idea of a grammar checker because let me tell you something. I need it badly. but I installed it. I played with it. I'm back on TouchPal because I like TouchPal.
You know, you can't be blaming yourself for this door. It's obviously the keyboard that's skipping those words.
No, I'll blame public school.
Okay, I got that one too.
I hear you. Very cool. Next one is from Dan. He says, what's up with Amazon? With the second big app giveaway from Amazon, I got to pondering the question of why. Some of these apps are fairly pricey. Some have in-app purchases, such as the print hand wireless printing app and the Body Atlas, but still others don't. Take Servers Ultimate, for example. It's not like hardware sale. Gosh, you know what it is? I did a voiceover before the show, and my mouth muscles are like just destroyed. It's weird. It's like, that's my, you know, like football players, they got to lift weights and stuff. Like when you do voiceover stuff, you got to like condition your mouth. I never expected it. It's a pain in the butt.
I don't know if I want to see that exercise.
I don't want to do it.
Do you know what's good for that, Steve? Down to the bone chicken.
What?
Yeah. Are you getting, you're probably wearing yourself out getting down to the bone.
that wasn't it. No, definitely not. He says, it's not like hardware sales just prior to a new version of the device are being released. If there are changes to Android, the devs usually just create updates at their own expense or just release a new product. Besides, Amazon, not being the developer of these apps, have no concerns about updates and such. I've considered this as a possible loss leader sale where the store prices some items below wholesale price to bring customers in. That makes sense, but why so many apps for free? A handful of some expensive apps like the Body Atlas, priced at $25, would have probably sufficed to draw attention to their app store. So I figured I'd get your take on this. What do you think is the reason Amazon is doing this? Anyway, I look forward to hearing your take on this. Sincerely, Dan Gardner.
Go ahead, Dor. I've got some words.
As I say, you had the long email back to him. Amazon ain't hurting for no money, number one. To them, it's just, you know, pennies. They don't care. They used to have a policy where when they offered your app for free, you got paid no money. That changed to where now I believe they give you, because when you put an app in the Amazon App Store, you can say, well, the lowest five, the highest 10, I want to sell it for $9. I believe they now give you the lowest possible dollar you accept per each app download. So they are losing money on it. I believe it's just to try to get more people in the Amazon ecosystem, period. You have to have the Amazon app installed on your phone. You have to have that DRM tied in with the app that you download. You have to have both that app and the Amazon App Store running at the same time, or else the app will stop working. So I think it's all about trying to just grasp as much market share as possible. They're okay with losing a little bit of money because they're Amazon. They're stinking filthy rich, you know? That's what I believe.
Yeah, that's the big one. But I really, you know, and I think if the developers are getting a little bit out of it, that's better than nothing. You know, it gets exposure to their apps that they may not have had before. But their apps, Amazon really needs to do something with their app store. It's just gotten such, I've got some high-end equipment here that I'm running on, and it is just such a dog. It's just so miserable to use. It's a horrible interface. It's horribly slow. It's bloated or whatever's going on. It's coded improperly.
Yeah,
they need to do something there.
Well, and of course,
that doesn't explain why they, go ahead.
No, and Eric, they'll say the problem's you. It's because you went and every day you click, you want to buy the free app. You want to buy the free app. You want to buy the free app. So every time you load up that application, it has to go down that list of every app you've ever clicked that you own or you want to buy. And it basically has to do like a refresh on it.
There's no reason why it would have to do that, though.
I didn't say there's no reason for it. But I'm telling you
that's what it does. But
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you load the app and you leave your screen on, but you don't touch the app and you let it run for like 5 minutes, and then you go to use the Amazon app, it runs great. But it's like loading. There's something going on. And I'm like
super
you.
Lame.
I owned, bought, quote unquote, too many apps.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think I'm up to 1,000. that I own. I'm waiting for the week long wait in a hospital for whatever reason, and then I'll get to them. But
I can't believe they pay the developers when they give their apps away for free. That's amazing to me.
I thought there was a policy change because I believe it was either the real popular keyboard.
SwiftKey.
It was either SwiftKey or Shifty Jelly complained about, well, take my app off your market. And then I believe there was a policy change. It was literally over a year ago to where now they pay app developers something. They don't give them full price for it, but they give them something. I would think it's one of those for an app developer, double-edged sword. Yes, you get more install base. Yes, you get more exposure. Yes, you get more downloads, but no, you don't get what you were hoping to get, I'll say.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Amazon has free reign to just anytime they want, make it free, that's one thing. But yeah, I wouldn't mind the exposure. Those numbers are going to help you out, I think.
Mm-hmm, right.
Especially if you have ads built into your app, you know, at the bottom or something.
Yeah. Right. Interesting. Well, those are our thoughts, Dan. Thanks. All right, guys, that's it for the emails for today. We got a couple more. We're going to read them next week. Thanks for sending them to us. We really appreciate it. All right, let's see what the guys have to say, if anything, before we end off this show. Dor?
Yes, I want to let everybody know that me and Steve and Eric are contemplating tweaking just a little tiny squeak tweak on the Wednesday show, the email show, where we hope to get more geared into what you, the listener, want to hear out of each and every kind of show. And I want to say thanks to everyone for downloading, subscribing, sharing, plussing, tweeting, Facebooking, whatever, you know, all that groovy stuff.
Awesome. Eric?
We're taking a couple weeks off of the developers joining us. It's not like I've had any email saying, hey, we don't like having the developers on or nothing like that. It's just, We're letting them rest for the holidays, and then we're going to attack them hard after the holidays are over, and they're going to be back. But you know, if you're not totally into the devs, which I really think it's hard not to like to listen to these guys who are in the
have
trenches.
We had any feedback? We haven't had feedback about that, have we? People don't like the devs.
No, I've never seen anybody say they don't like them. I'm just saying I don't have anybody scheduled for the next couple weeks, so. It's just going to be the Brellas, you know, just hanging out, talking about some apps.
Sounds good to me.
A couple addicts.
Yeah, we got some catching up to do on emails and whatnot, so perfect timing. Yeah. All right, that's going to be it for Android App Addicts for today. See you next time.